you know, I hope we don't have the type of guys that are like, oh, I'm more motivated this year because of something that happened the previous year. Like, I hope we have the competitive stamina now that it really doesn't matter. And I thought the way that we responded from an offensive line, play calling, you know, offense last year from this game, you know, I thought there was a lot of positives that came from it. I don't need Deion and Spencer to approach this week any differently than they have been, and there's, you know, throughout their career. And, you know, but I know they'll be ready to rock.
Bills head coach Joe Brady on Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown there. Last year against the Texans, Deion Dawkins was concussed and Spencer Brown basically didn't have a shoulder. So definitely a disadvantage last year. Sports Talk Saturday, by the way. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer. Hour number two. Thanks to everyone who called in hour number one. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you want to jump in with us for the rest of the show, we're open for you. Bills, Texans thoughts, season thoughts, Joe Brady thoughts, Patriots hate. I mean, we'll take it. I really, you know, we got a lot on that earlier this morning, so not too shabby. But, Derek, to get into Bills, Texans just a little bit here. When we're sitting here listening to Joe Brady talk about that last season, and I think back to last season specifically in the way that game went, and it wasn't ideal in any sense of the word. To say the least, 23-19, they lose. The hook and ladder again indicates that they're going to lose, so I hope we don't see that this year. But not having your starting tackles be fully healthy is not a good sign, and that's the game Deion Dawkins gets knocked for the most, I feel like. When people saying he took a step back, people saying he took a step down. He was concussed because of the Houston front in that game, right? So, not great. What's your confidence level, I guess, if we're going to, let's get into this a little bit. Confidence level in the offensive line against this Houston defensive front, as opposed to what we saw last season.
I'd say it's still not great.
No, I would agree.
That Houston defensive front is something else. What you need to do is be able to threaten with short game, quick attacks with a twitchy DJ Moore. That is the best way you can counter this. And if you're able to do that, alleviate a little bit of the pressure, make the Texans have to focus more on a quick attack, because the Texans, their defensive line is that good. You are not going to succeed more times than not in terms of being able to do something pass pro-wise. You would have to really, and I mean really, sacrifice options in your passing game, like no running backs or one of the tight ends has to block, in order to really try to protect Allen in particular there. But I also think that the two of them combined with the injuries and how they played against Houston, that sort of performance shouldn't be replicated.
Right. I would agree. This is where I'm struggling with confidence in this game, right? Just in general. Doesn't have to be the offensive line conversation specifically. I just remember last season being confident against this Houston team because of how it went the year before with D'Amico Ryans and Sean McDermott basically trying not to win the game, both of them, in those decisions. Josh Allen throwing three times out of his own end zone. All of that, right? And thinking next year was going to be different. And it wasn't. It was worse, actually. So I'm really hoping that they're able to right the ship with the new leadership, new defense, all of that, and shut down, you know, CJ Stroud in the offense there. But I also have to add, the Bills lost to Davis Mills last year. We can't let that go under the rug. We cannot let that be swept under the rug. The Bills lost to Davis Mills in the Houston Texans last year. So having confidence, blind confidence, that they're going to be able to beat CJ Stroud because, oh, he's not that great. I mean, Davis Mills got the job done a year ago.
Davis Mills got the job done a year ago. He also was very careful in making sure to not lose. That became one of CJ Stroud's biggest things at the end of last year, was he was finding ways to endanger his team. And that's where I think you could have a little bit more confidence, is that you can get after a quarterback like that and cause those turnovers. If you can cause the turnovers like that, then that's where you can really get into causing problems for the Texans, making sure that the defense has to be perfect, when defense is more variable on a year-to-year basis.
Agreed. Agreed. Jeremy White asked me 2 weeks ago in Owen Parker, how do you feel about this Texans matchup? Without hesitation, I said the Bills are going to win. Without hesitation. Owen did too. Today, I don't know if I'm without hesitation going to say they're going to win tomorrow. And I don't know if that is just because it's the jitters and the first game of the season. And you've heard Jim Leonard say, you know, the defense might not be on its feet right away to 100%, paraphrasing, of course. But then he's been surprised by what they've been able to do throughout the preseason. They've looked good, right? They've really been doing well. They might be ready to go right away. So, yeah, I do have a little bit of confidence, but also anything can happen. Look at what happened with Sam Darnold on the first snap of that Seahawks game, Derek. Like, I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying this, but that changed the game and potentially has changed the season for them. If they don't win these next couple games with Drew Lock, if Darnold does have to sit out, that's immediately in that division a playoff issue. Seeding, all of that. You might not make it. It might be so slim margins. Same thing with the Patriots and A.J. Brown. If Brown's out, he's out for 4 weeks now. If he's out long term, that could be big if they're dropping games early in the season. That's what Baltimore did in week one to the Bills. And look at they didn't win the division. Those one game, these injuries, all of it, these fluke things that happen early in the season have long-term consequences. And I think that's the thing I'm most worried about for this Bills-Texans matchup. With it going, it's going to be a physical matchup, right? Yeah. I mean, there's really no way dancing around that. It's going to be a physical matchup. Anything can happen in a physical matchup. And I think that's what I'm concerned about most. Not really the game. I think the Bills are good enough where they'll be able to win. They should have won last season. I think the Texans are good as well. They could win. I think it's not a toss-up. I think it leans a little bit in the Bills' favor. But it's more so the consequences of things that can occur throughout the game I'd be more concerned about with how physical I think it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be physical. It's going to get nasty. I mean, I would imagine James Cook is going to be something that you need to get there. Get the run game going, because that's how the Bills stay alive in that contest. It's that and the Ray Davis kick return touchdown. You do need Cook. You do need the run game to keep things going, keep things operational. That's another way to slow down the Texans' pass rush. I mean, it didn't slow them down in the last game when Cook had over 100 yards and Allen got sacked eight times. But it's a factor. It's something that should help you. But the other part of it is the defense kept giving up bad timely things, bad timely drives, for example. Ray Davis has the kick return touchdown because Houston had just scored.
Right.
But then the Texans take the ball right back at the end of the half and they get points again. Like, you can survive the Houston Texans. You absolutely can, even with Stroud. Because Joe, 24 points wins each of the last two games in Reliant Stadium.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing for me. Is they've been so close to doing it. They haven't won in that arena since like 06, which is unbelievable. But they haven't been able to get over that hump. And I think this is the week that they do. I think week one of the season, the fresh start, if you will, after moving on from Sean McDermott in the offseason. It's new blood, new coach, everything. I look at this as if they beat Houston in week one, there's not a team they can't beat on their schedule. Am I wrong on that?
No. And I think that, say the Bills offense mysteriously pops off against Houston, right?
Right.
I'm still going to say the point of defenses are volatile on a year-to-year basis. They're not always going to be as perfect as they once were the year prior, or as good as they were the year prior, typically. Typically. But say the Bills ring up 30 on Houston. Suddenly the words might be, oh, they're matchup proof. Especially with what happened to the Rams overseas in Australia.
Yeah, we haven't really even gotten into that. That was a nightmare for them.
It was a nightmare for them, but also then it looks like, hey, maybe the Rams are mortal. Oh, the Bills might not be. If they get to 30 points somehow against Houston. I'm saying somehow because I question the likelihood of that happening. But it's a great first test because it's almost as if for the Bills, there's not much you can lose out of this. Like, yeah, being 0-1 would stink. Losing an AFC game would stink. It would not be ideal. But then it's just that
your
you have
your division rivals already 0-1, so that kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off.
But,
you know,
conference tiebreakers, everything like that. But
sure, sure.
Because what New England did was they lost an NFC game. If you're going to lose a game like that,
yeah,
lose
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah.
I would trade 1-1 if it means beating the Texans and losing to the Lions. Like, I would hit deal on that. I wouldn't think twice. But There's a lot of things wrong with starting 0-1, of course. However, the perception might just be, okay, keep the Bills as far away from Houston as possible. They just can't win in that stadium. They have a Texans problem. Because that's the way I would see it at that point. I think that the Bills are fine. Let's get to the short week. Let's get to Detroit. But they have a Texans problem.
I agree with you. I also hate saying a team has a team problem. Because how many years did we say that about the Chiefs? Multiple.
I mean, it's still a problem. It's a postseason thing, but
it's a postseason problem you have.
But
with
now
the
Bills have quote unquote graduated to having a postseason problem.
Yeah.
They just don't finish no matter who it is.
Right.
But if you keep losing to the Texans, in particular in Houston, you just have those demons. It's unexplainable. Right. Because I think that's where your biggest problem with it is logic, right? It's illogical to think that they have
that kind because
of
you wallop them when they show up at Highmark Stadium.
If they
you wallop
do.
Them. Yeah, they did a couple years ago.
I know.
And
oh, it's a few
it was 40 to nothing.
Years. It's several years ago, but that's also before they get CJ Stroud.
Yeah, that's true.
God,
who was quarterbacking them at that point?
Bonds.
Was that Davis Mills? I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah, Davis Mills. Interesting. What'd you say about Purdue's defense? Sorry.
They're buns. First play.
Are you watching your team right now?
Yes. They're up 7-0.
That's good. But it won't be 7-0 for long, it sounds like. It sounds like it'll be 7-7.
No, first carry, there's like 4 missed tackles on a 9-yard gain. Like, ugh. Anyway.
Yikes. I have a question for you. I saw Buffalo Wins on Twitter. Joe from Queens.
Oh, yeah.
The Bills always defer the coin toss. Should Joe Brady change that?
I think he will. It's not even
you
a
think
should.
He'll like just, you know, take the return right away?
Yes,
he
I think.
He won't kick?
I think it'll be contextually by game. But Houston's a team you want to attack right away.
Yeah.
You need to get them to play your game, not theirs. You need to change Houston's way of life. Because if you have to play the Houston Texans game, you lose. Why? We've seen it the last 2 years. If you get the Houston Texans having to play your style of football, which is we're scoring points, you got to keep up. I don't think the Houston Texans are equipped for that.
No.
And if you're beating that defense en route to scoring points, there's a bigger problem at hand for Houston.
Yeah, your goal is to keep the defense off the field, the Houston defense off the field. So if you go right down the field and score, and then you allow your defense to hone in on C.J. Stroud, I was blanking on his name, C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense, I think that's the way to do it. People are weary of that, though. People don't think you should because they want the second half kick. And here's the thing. That's great and all. If you go out there and assert dominance right away, though, and make them chase you, like you said, That's a whole nother ball game. I don't really care, I guess, if at that point, you know?
We know that the Buffalo Bills cannot play the Houston Texans style of football. We've seen it over 2 games in 2 years. We know they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't know if the Houston Texans can play the Buffalo Bills style.
Right,
we've
we have no
never
idea.
Seen that kind of game between the two of them. We've never seen that kind of game between the two of them. As a matter of fact, every time Josh Allen's been in Reliant Stadium, Joe, 24 points wins any one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
The injury game, the playoff game, and each of the last 2 years. For a team that averages 28 points per game, hitting 24 sounds like something you should be doing.
Right.
The Texans,
sounds about right.
We haven't seen that yet. Can they put the pressure on? That's going to be the key.
What do you make of Houston in general? Like, season outlook on them?
I don't know
where they fit into this AFC, because that's been a big thing for me, and I want to get into that at some point today, probably in the next segment. Of, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about, like, who's the biggest threat. I look at this AFC conference, and to me, it's the Atlantic Division in hockey last season. I think 12 wins might win you a division. 11 wins might win you a division. The conference might be decided by 12 wins, right? And win differential. It's going to be a tiebreaker year. I think this is going to be a cluster, you know, of all these teams. And the Texans being one of those teams with their defense, right? Defense wins championships. More of an old school team, if you will, because I don't think the offense is all that great. Who knows? It might be with the addition of Kayshon Boutte, now a more complete receiver room with Nico Collins, with the injuries everyone's dealing with. But where do the Texans fit into this AFC picture to you? I'm not entirely sure where I know where.
I think the Texans still ultimately are who they are, a team that will likely get bounced in the divisional round because they don't have enough of the offensive firepower. Mostly has to do with their quarterback needing to really prove something this year. And if they don't, we're going to still have some problems. And if you don't have the opportunity to get things done, get things taken care of with that offense, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, Jalen Higgins already out for the year. They trade for Kayshon Boutte, which is a big help. Nico Collins obviously is still Nico Collins, but the injuries and uncertainty surrounding the Houston Texans in terms of the other offensive weapons, they have to go and acquire David Montgomery. Is he still going to be solid if he's not, you know, part of an incredible tandem? He's a tandem with Jahmyr Gibbs last year, and he's one of the best backs in football. But there's something to me when it comes to, just to get back to the crux of this with Houston, there's something more that they can do. There's another echelon that they can reach. And if they don't reach it, it doesn't mean it's a disappointment. It does mean they need to go ahead and look more internally at what can we do to make this offense better.
Right. Right. And CJ Stroud.
And Stroud in particular is that, because Stroud's a player that also has never yet hit even 25 passing touchdowns in a season.
No, he hasn't. And they haven't extended him yet, right? He's due.
Correct.
So this is, if you were Stroud, you wanted this to get done before this season, right? And the Houston Texans had talked about, I remember a report from a couple of weeks ago, putting him in the $50 million club, right, with these other quarterbacks, who are better than he is, in my opinion. And they got to the point of not doing it yet, right? And I don't think it'll happen before tomorrow. So now his play this season is going to, it's going to make or break him getting this contract, where if you're him or his agent, you're pining for it to get done before the season. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a lot to go out there and show. I just don't know if he's capable of it. He, to me, had that great rookie year where he looked like one of the next elite quarterbacks. And then it got to the point of he lil bro'd Caleb Williams, right?
Lil bro'd Caleb Williams.
If you remember that clip, he did. They met and shook hands on the field. You know, you learn from this. Like, talk to him like he was some seasoned vet in his second year, right? Since that moment, it's been all mediocrity and downhill from where he was at the start of his career. This is a huge year for CJ Stroud. So I guess I'm saying, at the same time, while I'm not a huge believer in him and I think he's just fine, I think he's Bryce Young with a better arm, I also think he's got something to prove and he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. So as much as I'm saying is I don't think he's going to be fantastic, I think he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder and trying to get that money, you know?
Right.
I just don't know what to make of him. I think the offense is like, can he quarterback that? You saw Davis Mills quarterback that last season and he was fine.
He was fine, but also Davis Mills, let's not pretend like Davis Mills went ahead and shined in any of the games that he played and he won.
No, sure. But is CJ Stroud going to shine like he did in year one? I don't think so. I don't know.
that's the things that we don't know. And there's enough weird things around him that we don't know what's going to happen. That's the thing. The Texans are a mystery. They do need that defense to be as good as it was last year. That's a dangerous.
Desperately need it to be.
That's also a dangerous thing to rely on.
Very dangerous.
By the way, the two games that Davis Mills popped off in last year that he had to start were Jacksonville, where the Jaguars just hilariously collapsed, and then Tennessee, which, I mean, take that for what you will. They still also only score 16 points that game.
Right. Yeah. I guess. Jonathan tweets in, by the way. It's getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Nortown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NortownKia.com. Derek, you mentioned the Rams earlier in comparison to the Houston Texans a little bit. What makes them mortal and what the Bills could be immortal if they beat the Texans, right? Jonathan thinks the Rams flying to Australia the day before the game is what made them mortal. I would tend to agree with that. I think that whole situation, if you're asking me what I thought before that game, I thought the Rams had the better idea of going down and keeping their sleep rhythm the exact same, just going to play the game, right? Just sleeping on the plane, treating it as your regular schedule. You're on West Coast time still. Don't change anything and go from there. And the 49ers going and adjusting, I thought, was going to hinder them in the long run, which it still might. He might not be, I guess, they might not be back to normal, if you will, for their next football game in the States.
Well, if you got out of there immediately, maybe there's a chance you just get back and you can just get back to adjusting to the normal schedule as the week is going on.
I thought the Rams had the better plan, though, and clearly that was not the case. And Jonathan pointed that out, right?
No, we do need to talk about that.
We
should and we will. But first, I know this, though. We're going to talk to Paul Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Because we do have the Sabres prospects happening over the course of the weekend as well. So, you know, we'll talk to Paul as we get some Sabres hockey coming back to our airwaves, especially because of the fact that we've got the Sabres back on a multi-year contract with us here at WGR. But
home once again.
The season will begin with the Sabres and the prospects, and we'll talk to Paul Hamilton on the other side of this timeout.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, good. Paul Hamilton, as you heard, coming up, Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer here with you. Hour number two rolls on. Paul Hamilton joins us on the West Hur Hotline. From the Sabres Prospect Challenge. Paul, thanks for taking some time out of your weekend. I know you're busy. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Yeah, they just called to order the practice. It was originally a noon practice. I, of course, didn't notice that they changed to 12:30, so I've been here for a half hour staring at, and I hadn't seen Derek's text until just recently. I could have come on then, but I didn't even see it. But, yeah, they're just getting started right now. Mike Leone, of course, he will be coaching the two games on Sunday and Monday. And with the Amherst staff. Now you're going to hear the sound effects as we're going.
Now we're
all right,
going.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. So realistically, Paul, just for the people listening at home, the prospect challenge, it's a strictly battle, like positioning battle for Rochester, right? More so than the Sabres opening night roster at this point, right?
Not even that. I mean, you have junior, they don't have as many junior players here as before. And, of course, don't forget, the reason that there's 9 invitees, I've never remembered that many invitees, maybe 2, 3, 4. Now, they had to get a goaltender because Lennon just wound up with a lower body injury. But they have 2 goaltenders, Moash and Ratzlav, who are draft picks. I think they both were in this last year also. But the college players have already started school, so they can't be here. Richard is in his first one because he signed a contract, but he went to UConn. You know, they always show up in July for the 3-on-3 tournament, so we get a chance to see all the college guys there. And then it's unfortunate that we can't see them in the Prospects Challenge because I think it would be good for them to be able to play in it. So these are the fewest amount of prospects. Now, for folks that come, and it's usually pretty well attended if people are planning on coming down for the games, although one game is at 5 o'clock on Bills Sunday. Now, the Bills game will be over, but still, I don't know how well that game will be attended. But, I mean, Mirka is going to be out there. McCarthy, a third-round pick from Clarence, who was the captain at VU last year, he's going to be playing. Komarov is a guy. Sebalov Komarlov, he has been playing for Rochester the past couple of years. And in junior, in the Quebec League, he was voted the best defenseman his last year of junior a couple of years ago. His team was in the Memorial Cup Finals with as the Quebec League champion. The interesting thing about him in his last junior year is not only was he one of the top scorers in the league, he was second in penalty minutes in the league. So he's no shrinking violet. He'll mix it up. I remember not last year's playoffs, the year before when the Sabres weren't in and I was down in Rochester. I mean, he's a willing participant, and he dropped the gloves and went with a real tough dude. And the guy caught him with an uppercut, knocked him out. But he was a willing participant. And, he's a guy that Mike Leone talked about the other day, 2 days ago, yesterday when he was chatting. And he said he's kind of got rid of the excess baggage. I don't want to say he's fat. That's not what I mean. But I want to say baby fat. You know, just he said he's really done a good job this year of coming back in real good shape, looking good. And that's a guy, that's a depth guy we're talking about. That's a guy you might see in Buffalo at some point if Buffalo runs into injuries. I mean, you know, Metsä, I think, is going to be maybe the sixth or seventh defenseman to start off with. But, you know, your depth guys would be Eric Johnson and – or not Eric Johnson.
Ryan Johnson, yep.
Name. Thank you. Thank you. Eric Johnson is the veteran who has since retired. Ryan Johnson and Komarov. I mean, he might get an opportunity if there are some injuries. McCarthy, I don't know, being his first year in Rochester, you know, they may want him to spend a good year. So those are the guys really that are here that people will be interested in. A lot of the rest of them are just guys that are invitees for this camp. Just try and get a look because scouts come to these things. So if you have a good camp, Sturbik, I'm sorry, I didn't bring him up. He's one of those giant right-handed shooting defensemen. He was also a second-round pick, just like Kleber, just left a good career at Michigan State. And, I think Kleber has gone ahead of him on the pecking order. But you know what? Sturbik's a good defenseman, too, and he's starting his pro career now. He's going to be in Rochester along with Mirka. So it'll be interesting to see him grow throughout this year and see how he develops because, well, we all know the Sabres have three defensemen who aren't going anywhere. They're the base of the defense. They're all signed long-term, and Dahlin and Power and Samuelson aren't going anywhere. So there's one top four defensive position open, and there's probably four guys that are battling for it, and they're all huge. They're all right-handed shooting defensemen. And, there are guys that can play on the third pair. And that's great if you got guys who are capable of playing top four and they wind up on your third pair, which is great. So they have like an embarrassment of riches right now on defense. And there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, Don Larkin right now, the Red Wings, well, he's not going anywhere right now, but he's no longer the captain. And I'm not sure that I would almost guarantee that's not totally dead. He's just going to come to camp and see what happens. I'm sure not. You've got currency if a guy like Dylan Larkin becomes available or something like that.
Yeah, Paul, and we talked a lot about the defensemen here because those are the ones that they have a lot of the prospects for. The forwards, it's mostly because of the fact that most of them have graduated. They're onto the big club now. So we don't have a lot of names that we can really look at in the forward core here that are really going to bring the show stopping here. One name, though, that I'll ask about is Jake Richard. The guy was fantastic in dev camp. All the things I was reading about was about how good he was. This is probably the one forward that I'm going to want to keep my eye on in these two games over the course of the weekend.
He probably has been the best player in development camp for the last 3 years running. He has an absolute bullet for a shot, and he can get it off quickly. But then you look at it, he didn't score a lot of goals for UConn this year, his last year there. You just see him rip up development camp, but you don't see him like ripping up college hockey or whatever. So it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of a pro he becomes. And you're right. I mean, they're still youngsters. I mean, but they're already basically going to be Sabres. Benson, he's still a kid, you know, but he never went to the minors. You know, Austin, he's not going back. I'll say it again. I know that Hellenius is the sexy pick. He's the one everybody's all excited about and everything, and rightfully so. I mean, he scored the gold 2 years in a row at the World Championship. Sabres have scored the golden goal in overtime. Tage Thompson first year and last year Hellenius. And I'm not trying to say he's not going to be a good player. What I am trying to say is I believe when it's all said and done, Noah Ostlund will be a better player, maybe by a lot, than Hellenius. That shows you how much I think Ostlund is going to be a good player. I mean, he got up here and got an opportunity, and you couldn't pry him out of the lineup. And Lindy Ruff talked about it where he said that, I'm not afraid to put him out with 30 seconds left in the game because he's one of our better players. You know he's going to make the right play and do the right things out there. And he also has a good offensive edge to him, which I think is only going to get better. So, you know, he was already being put out there in key situations. Hellenius isn't afraid of key situations at all. You know, I had said it, and Lindy Ruff had admitted he really had the same concerns I did about putting Hellenius' first game in the playoffs in Montreal in basically a must-win situation. In game four, Buffalo loses that game. They come home down 3-1 in that series. And Buffalo goes out, and Hellenius plays, had a great game. Buffalo wins that game, and now they come back 2-2. So it wasn't too big for him. And Lindy Ruff said, he goes, he's just the type of guy, and talking to him afterwards, he just said, he goes, it's just hockey. That's not what they, most guys don't look at it. It was just hockey. They're nervous. They're like, oh my God, did you see that? You know, it's intimidating playing in that building, more intimidating than anywhere else. That building was – the Sabres were intimidated in Game 3. And one of the biggest reasons I feel they lost the game. But I shouldn't have had any worry because that kid was totally up for it. And as he said, it's just hockey. I've played hockey since who knows when. And that's exactly the way he looked out there on the ice. That it was, yep, I'll be fine. It's just a hockey game.
It's just hockey. And, Paul, we are – flirting with dangerously close to hockey now because of the fact that right away after the prospects games happen on Sunday and Monday, we're back talking about training camp. Everyone's going to be back on the ice. We're going to get more Paul Hamilton reports with pucks hitting the glass, you know, just as God intended. You know, this is how it's supposed to be. Take me to God's country where I get Paul Hamilton with pucks hitting the glass. But Paul,
that was Richard, by the way, that just hit the glass for you.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is how nature is healing, Paul. We've got you back at the rink. So
yeah, no, it's great. And Thursday they'll be on the ice at noontime. It'll be Lindy Ruff on Wednesday at noon. It'll be Lindy Ruff and Jarmo Kekalainen, who would normally talk the first day, but as we all know, Thursday is a pretty special day in Western New York, as that's Buffalo Bills' first home game in their new stadium. And very smartly, the Sabres didn't roll out their GM and their coach on Thursday. So, you know, they're going to roll them out on Wednesday, which is a very smart thing to do. And so we'll actually get an extra first day, but we won't have anybody on the ice on Wednesday. So we'll get to hear from them. You'll be here on Thursday, basically putting something up on our website because – and rightfully so, we're going to be talking a lot of football on Thursday, and that's the way it should be. But you'll have a little hockey sprinkled in there for us, Joe.
Yes, yes, 100% I will. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. The Buffalo sports are starting to kick off and puck drop, if you will. Paul, I have a question for you. This isn't really all that related to this prospects challenge, but you know, we're talking about prospects and everything like that. And the Connor Hellebuyck deal that everyone's pining for and worrying about is still, you know, undecided. No one knows what's really happening with that yet, if he is going to be moved or not. Winnipeg, you have Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts saying they have to do it. This prospect pool the Sabres have, and we're so far removed from the draft and no trades potentially have kicked in. Do you see this at all happening, or are you done with the whole conversation around it at this point?
I'm not a rumor person anyway. I never have been, because very few. I think you have to go back to Derek Roy for the last rumor that actually came true, going to Dallas. And so I'm not necessarily a rumor person when it comes to that. And everybody says the same thing. Well, it has to happen. Well, we don't have to go back very far. Don't remember, folks, everybody said in July, August, September, October, Jack Eichel. Well, it has to happen now. Well, it has to happen now. Not until November in Seattle
right. Did
that happen. You know, so I know a lot of people, including Elliot, thinks it has to happen, and it may happen. But the reality is, no, it doesn't have to happen. It can, just like the Jack Eichel trade, it can wind up happening in November or later, or in October, or after the season starts, or, you know, so who knows where, you know, if Cheveldayoff just decides, I'm not going to let somebody rip me off. And that's what Kevin Adams did. Kevin Adams, it was more of the younger player Kevin Adams was trying to get. And nobody wanted to part with the player that Kevin Adams wanted, so he just kept waiting until somebody did it. And Vegas finally did with Krebs. And, you know, that was one of the guys that the Sabres would settle for, former number one pick, as the younger player. Other teams weren't willing to do it, so Adams said, don't wait. And Adams did the same thing, with Doan, you know, and with Utah. And it was like, Doan has to be in the deal. And if he's not, I'm hanging up. And at first Utah said no, so they hung up. And then Utah decided they want Paterka. They figured out after 1 year that it was probably the worst mistake they'll ever make as a franchise, giving up Doan and Kesselring for J.J. Paterka. But they wanted him bad enough that they finally called Kevin Adams and said, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So Kevin Adams
wouldn't
be swayed. He wouldn't be swayed. And right now it sounds like Cheveldayoff won't be swayed. But will he be? Only time will tell.
Right.
Only time will tell.
And Kevin Adams and Paterka now are in Boston together. So it's a very, very exciting reuniting happening there. So, you know, it all comes around. But, Paul, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Until a coach can teach J.J. Paterka that the game of hockey in the NHL is a two-way game, he can score 35 goals, and I still wouldn't want him on my team until he learns that little concept there.
Right, little concept, right, you know, maybe not so little. But thanks, Paul, for taking some time. Enjoy the prospect challenge, and we'll talk soon and, you know, throughout the week, of course. It's Sabres hockey less than a month away.
Sorry to put up with all these pucks off the boards and everything.
Put up with it. It's
put up with it.
Nature's
it
healing.
Yeah. We're nearing the start. It's exciting. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
It's Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline at the Prospects Challenge. Go check that out at the Harbor Center. That's going to be getting underway here. Like, it is underway, as you heard all the pucks on the board.
So they're practicing now, but as Paul mentions, though, the first game is after the Bills game on Sunday, as that is, 5 o'clock on Sunday. The second one being on Monday, September 14th at 12 p.m. So,
yes.
Hey, I got removed from the midday. I can go to that now.
There you go. All right. Yeah, new lineup, too. That starts on Monday.
Yeah, new lineup starts on Monday, too. So I could actually go and attend that.
Yes, very exciting. Very exciting. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back on the other side. And then in the last hour, what do you say we make some picks for week one, Derek? What do you say we look through the NFL schedule, the remainder of it? We'll talk about the AFC in general, too. I've got our picks for the division winners pulled up and the conferences, the Super Bowl, all that from last week. I want to really see how close we think these records could potentially be. Do a little predictionary stuff there. But more on the other side, maybe a little more Sabres chatter before we get into that on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday, wrapping up hour number two. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer here with you. One more hour, and then we're off to Bills coverage on Sunday, which is tomorrow. Kind of crazy. We are 24 hours away from kickoff, essentially. It's 12:53 on the dot right now.
Yeah, we are pretty much at 24 hours.
Yeah, so we've arrived.
We've never been more back than right now.
Yeah. I feel good right now. It'll be interesting to see how in the morning when I'm doing the breakfast, the coffee, the whatever show, you know, in the morning. It's still unnamed on our sheets, too. So we got to figure something out with that. But when I'm doing that, how I'll feel leading up and then hearing the rest of pregame with Jeremy, Nate, and Joe, and then your guys' game cast listening throughout the game. I'm going to be intrigued to see how this all goes tomorrow. I'm very, very interested.
The game cast has been very fun. It's going to be really interesting to see how we do reacting in live time to a game that matters now.
Right. It's not a preseason game. This is legit football consequences, all of it. So
yeah, the consequences.
I think it'll be fun for you guys.
Every play is going to matter now. I'm going to have to see how my emotions do in this sort of thing in live time. But hey, we'll deal with that.
Any violent outbursts?
Maybe.
Scream. At the top of your lungs. I feel like that'd be some good radio, you know?
You've got
good,
me and good Nathaniel streaming on the same broadcast in live time watching. You've been in the newsroom enough to see the two of us act how we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to keep it a little measured.
On camera, 1,000%.
We're probably going to have to keep it a little measured. But you know what?
Yeah.
We'll deal with that how we do.
Right. We'll be back on the other side. Hour number three, we'll get into some AFC chatter, Bills, Texans, more of your calls, 803-0550. Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.